came for the stranger. Honor thy Lord to be like him, thy faithful Savior. Courage is to be like him, yes, to be like Jesus, be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, honor thy Lord, to be to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, honor thy Lord, to be like him.
Heavenly Father, Lord, once again we humbly approach you with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, even as we are glad and we rejoice, Lord, to be gathered in your house, to gather around your word, Lord. Heavenly Father and Lord, even as we are thankful for your mercies and your grace, we do ask of you, Lord, that you'd please, Lord, be with us. Be with us now, Lord God, in the Sunday school. Lord, not only this one, but the other Sunday school classes, Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that you have preeminence, Lord. Father, we ask, Lord, that you take control. Father, that only the things that you desire to be spoken, let them be spoken, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, for the day ahead of us, the song worship and the main service. Everything, Lord, we commit it to you. Even as we think of those that may be still on their way, be merciful to them, Lord. Even those that are not here, those that are unable to attend on this day, please undertake for them, Lord. Father, we ask you when we open the word now, may you please bless it, Lord. We commit this time to you now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints, once again. We thank the Lord for another opportunity to gather in his house. We might go straight to reading a scripture so that you can be seated where you are. If we can turn, please, to Ezekiel, chapter 36. The saints in our cottage meeting, I apologized to them in advance because they got the Sunday school lesson before Sunday. You know, but God's word is good all the time. So Ezekiel 36, and we'll read from verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. 27, please. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. You may be seated, saints. If we could also read 22, we'll read one scripture there, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, two scriptures we'll read. Simon, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So just a thought we have is just on the Holy Ghost in the heart of a believer. You know, if you can put back the one on Ezekiel, just so that we can more people. It's unfortunately, there's just looking around. It's not many new who are here. But we'll continue on all the same. Ezekiel 36. But just the one that sometimes as believers, as we go on this journey, our heart's desire is that for each and every one of us, I'm sure that there's none of us that wants to miss the mark. We don't want to miss the mark. We want to make sure that we get there. We have been different ones of us. We have been, the Lord called us and we. And it would be a sad thing that we come to the end of the road and we don't get it. So in this Ezekiel 36:26, the Lord here is speaking, I'll read it again, that a new heart also he'll give us. So we do know from the different messages, how the prophet, he explains this, that when the Lord, like there where he says that a new heart also I will give you. So we know by our fallen nature, we run away always from God. Amen. There's no person that's born of a woman. It's only Jesus Christ who was virgin born. But the rest of us, we born in sins, shaped in iniquity. We run away from God. So when God calls us, for us to be able to hear his voice, for us to be able to yield to God, he has to change our nature. He changed our heart. So that's why he's given us that promise. He said that a new heart I will give you. But not only that, he gives us a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. So, we do understand from the prophet, he teaches us that this year in itself, many people, they get caught up that you... When that change has happened, because you've justified, you sanctified, so you cleansed, your taste changes. Where you used to love the things of the world, because God took out that stony heart and he gave you a new heart, he put a new spirit in you. Because of that, some stop there and believe that they have the Holy Spirit. Although the whole process, it's a work of the Spirit. But that's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because we see after the Lord has done all this, if you can please put 27, he says in 27, the scripture says, and I will put my spirit. That's what we desire. That's what the Lord desires more than anything. Because if we stop short of God's spirit, being put into that new spirit which is given you, you've missed the mark. You have missed the mark. So it's something which can be treacherous. It's something which, because what happens is that when the Lord sanctifies us, he gives you license to begin to do the work of God. That's why we read the scripture in Luke chapter 22, and 32, where the scripture said that after Jesus told, if you think of it, that this was after, this was Jesus' ministry was 3.5 years. So his disciples had been walking with him 3.5 years. They were not just walking with an apostle. They were not just walking with an ordinary, there's no ministry which is ordinary, but they were walking with Emmanuel, God in flesh himself. They ate with Jesus. Yeah? He sanctified them. He gave them, in their process of sanctification, he gave them authority over devils. You know, because we know that they preached. They cast out demons. They did all those things. As for Peter, Peter even walked on the water. But yet, he was not converted. If you can please put us Luke 22 and 32, just so we see that again. So when we look at these things, it shows us that it's a walk that 32, please, that can be, we the Lord, we know that the one who began the work, he's faithful to see through to the end. But God plays his part and we play our part. And it's only by yielding, by surrendering, that's the only way that Holy Ghost can come and take hold, because it's God dwelling in you. Yeah, because that's the promise of his word. Because when the Holy Ghost comes in, there's a marked difference. Even though we know, like we said, that Peter and the other apostles, they did many good works. Like there were times they cast out devils, and one time they came to Jesus and they complained. They said, Lord, there's others who are casting out devils in your name. Shall we tell them to stop? He said, no. Those that are not against us are with us. So they were casting out devils. You see, but like the scripture said in 32, where it says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted. This is at the end when Jesus was to be crucified. Peter had not yet been converted. So we see by that it's the Holy Ghost. That's the one that does the conversion. Because you can be, Judas was sanctified, but he didn't make it. He was the son of perdition. So although those, because all that's what the deception that comes there, is that these men were given authority over demons. No doubt they had spiritual dreams. No doubt there were other manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You know? And don't get me wrong, those things are important and we want them and we need them. But the seal is the Holy Ghost, which is God's Spirit himself dwelling in your heart. Because he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by which you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. And Peter is one that is probably one of the best examples that you can see. Because after this, we won't read it, but when the Lord is telling them what's to happen, he's saying, no, never. He's saying, Lord, I'll follow you to the end. You see, that's human ability. But when you actually see what happened, when the challenge came, when the test came, Peter denied the Lord. He even denied him with a curse, the Bible says. You know? So, that's why Jesus said, when you are converted. So, the believer does well every now and again to reflect, to take stock. Because even though the Lord is using you in this way and that, and doing all that he's doing, but to miss this one will be failure altogether. You know, I don't know, sister, if you can please get us that quote there that I put. We'll read that as well. Oh no, that's not the one. That's not the one. We'll let me look for it on my phone. The title was The Unfailing Realities of the Living God. That's the first one. That one that you put up is the last one. So the unfailing. But so we can see by that, because okay, I don't worry about it. I must have sent you the wrong one. That's okay. But we can see by that, because the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the one that makes a difference. That makes a difference. And God's desire all along is to dwell in our hearts, because His Spirit is the one, like we're saying, it makes the difference. Because without it, even though we walk, even though we do well, but we can fail. Because what happens many a time is that, like if we look at say, like Peter is a good example. Yeah? The thing that made a difference with the presence of the Holy Ghost is that it transformed even his understanding, because it's no longer intellectual, but it's God in the man. Yeah? That it makes a complete difference even in your worship, in your service to God. Because if you go back even to the beginning, if you see Cain and Abel, yeah? One heard a commandment, but the other one caught a revelation. They both knew that they had to worship. They both knew they had to offer up sacrifice. But to Cain, it was a commandment. And it wasn't acceptable to God. It wasn't acceptable to God because it was just a religious act. And we know that God hates religion. Because religion is just that. It's religion is a covering. It's not a transformation. God's desire is to, when he says he'll give you a new heart, in the message where the prophet speaks, what does it take to make a Christian? He said that it's not a patch-up. It's something which is new. Yeah, it's not patching up an old. So you can see it with Cain and Abel. You can see it with Esau and Jacob. Was the same thing. One, he hears a commandment. The other one caught a revelation. He knew the importance of the birthright. We see it with the disciples. After they receive the Holy Ghost, Jesus says, he comes and he says that baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. But the apostles, they catch it by revelation through the Holy Ghost, and they baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That always, so the Holy Ghost is key to a believer. It's key. We have to get it. And the thing of it is that it's not something which is difficult to get, because it's a gift. God's desire, all heaven desires to give us that. You know? But it's a seal. So there's that condition to it. You can't seal off a work that's not completely yielded. You just can't. The prophet gives that example of the box cut. His brother worked for the railway company. So they would package furniture, they would package different things like that into the wagon. And before he can seal it, he has to inspect it to make sure that along the journey, it doesn't shake up and stuff falls and breaks. So once the inspector is happy with it, he now puts his seal. And once that seal is there, you rest assured that the contents of that wagon will reach to their destination unshaken, unbroken, and complete, because they've been inspected. That is the same with us. It's the same thing which the Lord has given to us. Will we try for the other code? Yeah. Which one do you have there? We'll go for the second one. Yeah. Yeah. This here is just we know these quotes, but just showing that without the Holy Spirit of God, if we without the Holy Ghost, you become religious. Yeah, you become religious. And sometimes we think, we often speak of denominations and different things like that. But that creeps in even to the message believers. I gave an example on, I was ashamed of it, the example which I gave. But when we were back at home once, we went for a convention. We attended a convention. And I was in the message as a young believer, and whichever way it worked. But we believed that our pastor was the only one who had the correct interpretation or understanding of God's word. And we organized, really, because it's either you were in or you were out. It doesn't matter who you were. And we were coming from one convention, I remember it. Clearly, we're sitting in the back of a pickup truck, maybe about 10 of us. And we pulled up to traffic lights. And another pickup truck pulled up beside us with brethren from another fellowship, message believers. And they turned and they looked and they said, oh, there's the people from the cemetery here saying to us. And we also said, are you in a lodge? You know, so you can see that that's a religious act. How are we coming from the blessings of God? Because the Holy Spirit works the same in everyone. It doesn't work one way in one person and another way in another. The Holy Spirit is the same. It's the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God, if you see before it could come down with the believers in the book of Acts, they had to be of one mind. They had to be of one heart before God could come and seal them. You see, so the Holy Spirit is not different. Doesn't work different in those and different in some. But you could see that we had become a denomination. That's what it is. How would the Lord be happy with that? Jesus died for us and for them. We won. We claim to believe the same message of the hour. But these things happen when the Spirit of God is grieved away. You become religious. We'll see to this sister who was a Methodist sister, if I have the right one. And here the other night, the prophet saying, I was out praying for a sick lady in the hospital. And when I went down, I heard somebody holler, Billy. And I looked around. It was one of our brethren here. He comes here, Rory Slater. He was standing down the wall from me a little ways. And he said, my brother's wife is sick. Will you go in and pray for her, Billy? And I said, sure. Went in there, and there was another aged lady about 60 years old, laying there. Looked like her son sitting beside. After I talked to them a little while, I said, can we're going to have a word of prayer. She said, pull the curtain. So he turned to the other lady. He's speaking to one lady who the brother asked to pray for. But you know the way in the hospital, there's a bed beside. So he turns to the other lady and he says, you know, we're going to have a word of prayer. He's saying to the lady, he's basically inviting her for prayer. And she says, pull the curtain. And I said, all right. I said, are you a believer? She said, I'm a Methodist. I said, that's not what I asked you. I said, are you a believer? The prophet is not saying, are you a message believer? She said, I'm a Methodist. We are Methodists. Just pull that curtain. I didn't do it. I prayed anyhow and prayed for her. So I prayed God will save her. But that's it, see? You're not a Christian. You're a Methodist. See? You're not a believer. You're a Methodist. Your own testimony tells it. Mercy, goodness, how far can you fall from the Bible? So that's if you take the Methodist in their age, that was the bride for their age. You see, but they didn't allow for the Holy Ghost to move so that they can move with the Spirit of God. They organized. And that's what can happen even to us here who believe that we have the truth or whatever it is. You see, it can easily happen that you grieve away the Spirit of God, that you come to a place where someone asks you to say, are you a Christian? And you say, no, I'm a message believer. Are you a Christian? He's asking. Because a message believer is a Christian. A Holy Ghost-filled Christian. You see, that is led by the Spirit of God, guided by the Spirit of God. But that's why, that's the importance of the Holy Ghost in the life of a believer. You know, I'm looking at Holy Ghost-filled saints here. But sometimes we have new, young people who come in our midst, and it's really important that you go all the way. Because one more story that really struck me. It's something which I experienced myself. Yeah, it's of a brother. I grew up with this brother in grace. Yeah. And back at home in Zimbabwe, but he also later came to Ireland. And I know times where when we were back home, he used to go testifying in the rural areas. And the one time, this brother, young, he was only like 18 years old, and they went, two of them, to this rural area, and some demons challenged them. Yeah, manifested in some lady while they were preaching. And he cast the demon out. Not once. More than once. Every weekend he was going to that particular rural area. Different child demons. And so many might. We went for all nights with him. I went with morning prayers. So I knew him to be a Holy Ghost-filled man. You know? But we came over here to Ireland. And I have a relative. You know, sometimes people who are not saved, they might show off a bit online and stuff like that. So this, he didn't like it, this brother. And it's no one who's here. So it's no one who's gone to South Africa. So don't let your mind run that way. You know, he's no longer worshiping this brother. But the relative of mine, he took a heart attack. Yeah? So after service, I said, hey, brother, did you hear about my relative? The guy, he took a heart attack. And the first thing that he said in Shona, he said, Toko. He said, good for that man. How is it that a Holy Ghost-filled person can say that? When the Word of God says that God himself, he doesn't rejoice in the death of the wicked. So you can see that brother had cast out devils that I seen myself. He could fast 3-4 days. You know, he's really committed. But he can't, you can't, because it's just, I'm sorry, I sent the wrong quote to the sister, because in it where the prophet says, he says, check that temper. You know, because when the Holy Ghost comes into you, it's God in you. So obviously we're trapped in flesh. I don't say that, but it can't be your default setting that if someone steps on your toe, what comes out of your mouth, even for a person who's not saved, it's shocking. It can't be. That anger. Because the word, the scripture speaks about it. If you look in Galatians 5, somewhere there, we won't go into it now, we're about to finish, but it clearly states, there doesn't state the 9 spiritual gifts, tongues and those. It speaks of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith. All those are fruits of the Holy Ghost. So how can it be, if God has got a hold of you, that reaction can happen? But we'll leave it there. Our desire is not to discourage, because sometimes when you can search your heart, it's good to reflect. You can search your heart and find, ooh, I'm lacking. So is there any use? It may have come out like that. That's not our intention. Because when you search your heart and you find yourself lacking, then look for help. Yeah, because God is merciful. His desire is to get you over the line. Because his desire is to dwell with us in eternity. That's why he sends us his word. So it's not to discourage us. Because the word says the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. So it doesn't grieve us. It makes us search ourselves and reflect. You know, but thank you, saints, for hearing us out. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for this opportunity, Lord, to read your word. How we appreciate it, Father. We pray, Lord, that, Father, even as we go on now, Lord, to continue the service, may you please take control of the next part of the service. Bless our brother who will lead us in songs, Lord. Lead us into worship, Father, that our hearts and our minds will be prepared, Lord, for the main service. And we ask you for grace, Lord, to please undertake for Brother Wilmo. Lord, even as he prepares himself now, Father, you use him, Lord, for your glory. Your people have come. We've come with an expectation to hear from you. So use your servant, Lord, is our heart's desire. We pray and we commit all these things to you now, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Thank you.